Delegation and supervision, it is an integral part of the nursing process and the healthcare delivery system. Delegation is when we transfer a task to another individual while we retain accountability for that outcome. So if I'm the nurse and I ask an LVN to change patient J. Brown in room 30 to change his catheter, meaning that is delegation, changing the patient catheter. Now, every time we delegate a task, we want to maintain or retain, meaning we want to be able to retain accountability for that task. So if I ask you to do a patient catheter change, I'm the RN, I'm still responsible equally for the task I delegate. That's about delegation. And that's why it comes in the anger a lot, because when there's a lawsuit, the one who delegates the task is also held liable for that. And that's why when you have an LVN assigned to a patient in the regular hospital, there should be another nurse that oversees that patient. Take for example, patient J. Brown in room 60 is being monitored. When you get to work, they're going to divide the patients on the various nurses. Let's say we have 20 patients. We have 20 patients. We have three RNs, and we have two LVNs or LP on the unit. So matter of fact, these 20 patients, we have three RNs, we divide them, let's say four. So each RN will take four. So each RN take four, so that will be 12, and we'll be left with eight additional patients. So the eight additional patients, we give four to each LVN. So that's it. Now then these RNs that have the four patients, each one of these RN would take two of the LVN patients. So the eight patients with the LVN would divide these eight patients again by the RNs. Now let's say we're doing charting. LVN cannot do assessment. They cannot do teaching. Now if you look at the patient, we have a care plan. Now LVN cannot do care plan. So the LVN will do regular charting on the patient. So if a patient should be charted on every 2 hours, the LVN will chat on them. Patient is in bed, patient asleep, alert and oriented times three, patient is on fluid, they will explain all those ones. They will do that every 2 hours. That's their job. Now when it comes to care plan, which will require teaching, it will require assessment, that cannot be done by the LVN. So the RNs that will oversee this LVN will be the ones that will be charged to write care plan note for these patients, to provide patient educations on their medication, to give IV meds. The RN are the ones that will oversee that. So the LVN will go in and do other works, but the portion I'll do education, supervision, I'll do with assessment, that should be level of the RN. That's how it happened. So that's why delegation is very important in the NCLEX. Now for supervision, like when you delegate a task, you must supervise it because you are the one who gonna be liable for that task. Supervision comes in when we are able to direct, monitor, or evaluate the task given to other individuals. That's about supervision. So when you're supervising a patient, you gotta direct your under man. You gotta monitor the patient. Then you got to evaluate the care provider. So the closing note, the RN gotta do it, because that at which point will know what was done. Was it done 100%? Was it done to what percentage it was done? Then we'll go in and provide those explanations within the notes. Now, RNs are responsible for these supervisions And also, because these tags are being given to other to licensed personnel. Now, the licensed personnel nurses, they also complete some of these tags and then and report to us as the RNs. Then you also have the UAP. The UAP are the unlicensed assisted personnel that also work in these hospitals that do not have license that they're working under, but they also have other responsibilities that they need to complete. Now, if there's any lawsuit can only be done against individuals who have licenses. And that's why malpractice can be only sued, you can sue for malpractice for those who have license. Now, then, these individuals include the CNAs, the certified medical assistants, or dialysis technicians, monitor technicians, or phlebotomists. These are all people who fall under the UAPs. So that's what happened. Now, with these tax, shortly we'll look at tax. Now, when it comes to these delegations, supervision, and other legal things, we have individuals along the way. Let's look at the function of the case manager. Now, because the case manager also comes in, you have other people that are coming in with different plans. There should be a case manager for every patient. The case management is a healthcare delivery strategy that we implement that supports the management of a particular patient and his diagnosis or his or her diagnosis. The case management is used among healthcare providers or healthcare professionals to approach patients with different levels of needs, including their illness, it could be psychosocial, it could be other needs. That's how we come up with case management. Now, case management includes assessment and development of plan. It includes assessment, that is, we should go in and assess the patient. We go in to also provide assessment one, two. We also go in to coordinate the activities, do referrals, and also do follow-ups. Now, I'm saying this because I want to include this into our nursing because this comes in the interest a lot. Now, case management. In case management, we must do this thing. One, we should be able to develop a plan of care. Develop plan of care for our patient. That's number one thing we do in case management. Now, the next thing we want to do in there is we want to make sure we coordinate all services. We have to coordinate all services. That's number two. Coordinate all services provided by the patient. And the third thing we do in there, we want to make sure we are able to do referral and follow up. We do referrals, and then we do a follow up on our patient care. Follow up. So these are the four things we do when it comes to care management. We do development of plan of care for the patient. We coordinate all services. We do referrals and we do a follow up for these patients. Now, case management is a critical pathway. We use various critical pathways and variation to conduct different analysis. This involves consultation and interacting with other interdisciplinary teams to provide our care, because when we talk about coordinating all services, development of plan of care, during referral and follow up, it is not just in our department. Meaning, it should be done all the patient needs to do MRI or CT scan. It can be done on our unit. We have to make the phone a call and set up the appointment for our patient to go to the next department. Radiology, laboratory department, rehab department. So that's about pain of that. That's about case management. Now, who is a case manager? Now I decided to add this today because the last time we were here, we had an argument. Not an argument. We had a serious question about case manager. Now, who is a case manager in nursing? A case manager is a professional nurse. More often, it should be someone who has a master's degree in nursing, let me say it that way. Now, this professional nurse assumes the responsibilities for coordinating the patient's care at admission and after discharge. That's the role of a case manager. You coordinate the patient activities. You take patient responsibility from admission to even after discharge. The case manager will establish a plan of care with the patient or for the patient, will coordinate all services. They will do referral for the patient, and then they will also facilitate discharge for the patient. That is the role of a case manager in the hospital. Now, there is a critical pathway when it comes to case management. Now, the clinical pathway is the clinical management of the patient that should be centered around the patient. That is what we call the patient-centered care. And this should be planned, should be monitored with other teams, and we should share decision-making, and we should also provide quality care for the patient. That's how we manage the patient critical pathway. Now, there are different analyses that we're going to keep giving as we move along the path for critical care pathway for our patients. There is one goal. The goal for critical care of for critical pathway is to anticipate and recognize negative variants. That is patient problems. A patient came to all the patient has they have some other bowel problem with other surgery. Now, in the critical pathway, we anticipate and recognize for this patient what are the problems that might lead to reoccurrence of this condition. We must analyze the patient condition. We must provide we must look out for a recognized negative variance, the problem in an early stage to provide appropriate action and to prevent the reoccurrence of this problem. That's what happening in critical pathway. Now for the nursing care plan, the nursing care plan is a written guideline that provide and communicate between the patient, the nurse and other nurses, which can identify the patient important health issues. So the care plan, let's say the patient comes in with fluid volume problem. So our care plan should be tailored according to the patient problems. And then the care plan should have the goals, it should have interventions. So depending on the problem, which include chief complaints, that's how we begin to formulate the care plan. Why did it come in? I'm having stomach pains. I have not been eating. I have been choking for the past 2 days. I have had diarrhea. I'm having severe stomach ache. That becomes the chief complaints. And our care plan should always be formulated according to what the chief complaints dictate. Now, after that, the care plan should have assessment. It should have the problem, which is the nursing diagnosis. It should have the goals, the intervention, is you have expected outcome. When you are writing a note in a hospital for a patient, if it's a care plan, you have these various parts. You'll see the problems coming in. Let's say mental health. You're going to see alter mental status. So let's say your patient begin. He started hearing voices at home. Started hearing voices. Started throwing stone. What could be a caring for that? That could be alter mental status. Because his mental status is altered. His neurochemicals are not the same anymore. There are some alterations. So that would be altered mental status. Now, what could be the interventions? Since he's having altered mental status, we got to do frequent roundings. Meaning we must round, go and see him everything. Because if we do not see him, his alteration in those chemicals could cause him to kill himself, kill other staff, or have other problems. He's having some bizarre behavior. Or he's having anxiety, or he's irritable, he's having agitation. So those things could derive from an auto mental status. That becomes the intervention. What could be the goal? The goal is at the end of the day, this patient must be free from those alterations. Then what could be done? The nurse who has seen this patient, rounded the patient every 15 minutes, patient is progressing. Patient is doing this, so everything should be tailored according to the chief complaint of the patients at admission. The goals could be short-term goal and long-term goals. The patient problems, the goals, the interventions, and the expected outcomes are documented in the care plan, which provides a framework for evaluation of the patient response to nursing action. So we go in before discharge. The doctor will review the care plan from admission. What the patient went through, if there have been improvement. If the patient came in, because I work in SAC now, so I'm going to look at SAC mainly. Patient came in, they had altered mental status. That was the problem they came in with. Now, on day 1, 2, 3, 4, on day 1, there was no progress, so it was not progressing. Day 2, there was a progress. And you read a little bit of progress. Day 3, day 4, day 5. So the doctor will start reading from day 1. And start seeing if there is progress, what he's doing, that's when the doctor will to sort of reduce his time of stay in the hospital. Based upon the nursing care plan, patient can be discharged or can be extended with longer duration of stay in the hospital based on the nursing care plan. Any question on that?
Yeah, Maddie, will the nurse refer a client without the doctor's order?
Uh-uh. It's not possible. I said, let's say the doctor said the patient would need, you got a doctor when they come and say, this patient needs chest x-ray. Right? That's what you'll say. And leave. So when it should be done, if it is not start order, he wouldn't put time. If it is start, you put start, meaning it should be done right away. Now, you the case manager, get a patient chart, see the patient needs to do x-ray, you call the x-ray department, arrange for the patient, the time, everything, then you pass it over to the charge nurse. The charge nurse will see it when you come out, or the report, the shift report will indicate that the patient would need to do x-ray. Then they are already called the x-ray department. The time is the second area. If they're going to come to him do x-ray or in his bed, then they will bring the machine. If he used to go to the x-ray department, then they will bring the wheel, or they will bring the garner, and then they will put him on there and they will move him to the department. You have to come in and coordinate orders and make sure it is done. Or if he's to be referred to another hospital, to another unit, you, the case manager, need to come in and do those referrals. But it is always ordered by the doctor. You are the one who will come in to implement those orders or to make sure it is done. So his nurse, because we have the case manager, is not a direct nurse. So that's why I wrote down the roles of the case manager. So the case manager spearheads those directive or those orders from the doctors. You, the nurse, a standard patient for that day, you are the one basically who will implement those orders. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, then we have sometime in nursing also, we have this different style of leadership. You have the autocratic leadership and management style, democratic, laissez-faire, situational, all these things about the NCLEX. Sometimes for the NCLEX, you might not see questions about disease conditions. You will see a lot of questions about these leadership roles. Go to your book and look at them. They're in the Sanders, and make sure and really understand what you are doing on them. You have different theories. You have the charismatic theory. You have the quantum relationship, the shared transactional transformation. These are all important things for the NCLEX. They are in there. You want to make sure you look at them and know what you are doing with these different leadership or legal implications. Then we also talk about conflict. I've seen this in the UR, different conflicts. Talk about the avoidance, accommodations. How do we resolve conflict? What method or what approach I'm gonna use? I wanna use the avoidance method, or I wanna use accommodation, or I wanna use compromise. These are different methods of resolving conflicts in the healthcare delivery system. You wanna go ahead and look at that and see what is in them. Any question? Now for triage, we said there are two kinds of triage. The one that occur in the hospital, the one that occur outside the hospital. Now, when a triage occur outside the hospital, it could be during the period of war, or when there is a disaster like tornadoes, there's an earthquake, there is a flood, it will require us to implement triage. Now, when it is outside the hospital, there are three guidelines I want to look at and place our patient in different groups. All in all, we will do assessment. So the first thing is that we'll look at the severity of the patient's condition. That's one. Two, we'll look at the urgency. What's the need? And three, where can we place them or where can we treat them? Those three things are implemented, or we'll look at those three things before we can implement any triage or any treatment in outside triage. Now, the inside triage is what happened in the hospital. You are assigned at the Emory Hospital in Atlanta. You are in the ER. What can be done in there becomes the emergency department triage system. Now, this system is commonly used we use a three-tier system. So what happened in the hospital, we use three-tier system. Now, we use three-tier system. And the three-tier system in the hospital triage, it uses the categories of one, emergent, urgent, and non-emergent, and non-urgent. So it uses one, you have emergent, two, it uses urgent, and three, non-urgent. That is inside triage or in the hospital triage. Now, these categories are or might be identified by the colors. For emergent, it will be red. This will be red tar. In the hospital for emergent, it will be a red tar. For the urgent, it's yellow. And for the non-emergent, it's going to be green. So you have green. Now this occurs in the hospital. For this in-house triage, the nurse needs to be familiar with the triage system of the hospital care they are in. If there's an emergency, the nurse needs to understand what can be done in every stage. Now, because every institution has different policies when it comes to emergency triage. Now, when we are caring for these patients or for the patient who has died, the nurse needs to recognize the importance of the family and cultural and religious ratios and provide support for the patient. So if a patient you are caring for, the patient is pronounced dead, you want to make sure, despite he or she has died, but we still have to make sure that their religious belief is very much highly into consideration. If a patient dies in the ER, you want to find out what the patient needs, and then donation, like organ, if the patient is an organ donor, if they are organ donor, you want to make sure you contact the hospital department very promptly to preserve those organs. So these are things we look at when it comes to different things happening in the ER. Now, for the rare type, let's look at the rare type, the emergent. For the emergent, these are patients that have the highest priority. And in the NCLEX, they'll always ask you, the nurse receives a four telephone calls, which one would the nurse attend the first? Now, if it is in the clinic triage or in-house triage, it's a bit different from the one we do outside, for outside triage. Now, for the rare type, we classify this as the highest life-threatening injuries, and they need immediate attention, and they will need continual evaluation. They have a high probability of survival when they are stabilized. Meaning for patients who fall under the rare type for emergency, of the emergent patient, they are at the point of death. If we do not act, they might die. If we act, they have a high cost or high possibility of living or survival rate. Meaning, if we care for them, meaning they will live, they will survive. If we do not care for them, they're going to die. So that means they will have a higher priority compared to other patients along the triage. So these patients who are in rare tire in the hospital are the ones we care for first. Now, these patients include those who have trauma. They are bleeding. They have chest pains. They have severe RDS, respiratory distress syndrome. These patients can also have cardiac arrest, or the ones that are having cardiac arrest, their limbs need to be amputated. They had a crush injuries, and want to make sure we amputate the leg before the entire leg become macerated. We want to make sure client will have acute neural deficit. Patient will have sustained chemical spots in their eyes are the patient that we place under the rare tire. Now, when we read these things, when it comes to delegation in the NCLEX for these questions, I want you to go to the Sundays and write down these things, because the NCLEX play all these things. And when we read these books, we see these things, we jump over them and we leave them alone. Now, let's go back to what they are saying here for the first tier. The first tier talks about few patients that we must give priority to. One, they said patients who have RDS, meaning they have respiratory distress syndrome, the one who having airway obstruction, ineffective airway, like example, people having asthmatic attack and they are having a death. Those who have two, it's like chest pains. Chest pain could be myocardial infarction. They fall under here. This chest pain condition, it kills them very fast. Individuals under here, the ones who have cardiac arrest. Four, individuals who under here who have some limbs, they need limbs amputation. They need limbs amputation, meaning they were involved into an accident and they are having profuse bleeding that they need to amputate the leg to make sure and preserve other body parts. The sixth one, individual having neurological problem, neurological problem, like they having neural deficit, and client who having sustained. Now listen to the word sustained chemical splash or splashes in the eyes, chemical splashes in the eyes. Now these are the most important individual in the triage. Now, this could be, they could provide you a patient who is having some other heart condition. And this is the idea for someone having ventricular or I call it ventricular fibrillation. They will ask for someone who having some difficult heart conditions. Someone who having, they got limp, they had a crush injury of the legs and they are bleeding. At the point in time for this, if we care for them, they can survive. They will live. Like my or like my cousin who got killed a couple of days ago. This child was stabbed on the shoulder. Imagine if he had a care on the scene, he wouldn't have died. But he lay in a pool of blood, bleeding for 2 hours, 30 minutes plus. The blood drained from him. That was emergency. If someone were care for him, even at that point, he was okay, let's put pressure to that wound. He lived for 2 hours, 30 minutes before he could die. So that means if we could have had someone there, even if there was no hospital, just apply pressure and tip the place, he would survive it. But he lied, he was laying down for more than how many hours? 2+ hours bleeding before he could die. So that case falls under emergency because they said in here or for the rare type or for the emergency conditions, if we provide treatment for them, they'll survive. If we do not provide treatment for them, they might die. And that's what happening. That's what happened to his condition. So all these individuals here, someone who having acute neural condition, like example, a patient who is DTS, dangerous to himself, he having chemical imbalances and he cutting himself, that's the priority patient. Or a kid who is involved in cutting, who has a mental problem, who is cutting themselves because they cannot stand the anxiety, they are hearing voices, they're trying to they calm down themselves by cutting themselves with razor. They could die from it if you don't care for them. So someone who had a chemical splash in their eyes, that's because if we don't act right away, what happened to the patient? They will lose their eyesight. If we act upon them right away, they will survive it. So those individuals fall within the tier one, which is the rare tier. Then we look at the second tier, the urgent individual, those who consume are urgent, tier two. For tier two individuals, they have a yellow tag, they are there is an urgency. Urgent, yellow. For this individual under here, they are assigned to patient. I mean, under here, these are patients who require treatment and whose injuries have complications that are not life-threatening. So for this individual, the injuries do not have, they do not have life-threatening injury. Now, if they are treated within 1 or 2 hours, they will survive. For these individuals, they will require 30 minutes to 1 hour to monitor after intervention for the individual. So they do not have life-threatening injuries. So if they are ill, if they are having problems, if we act, they will survive. And then we need to check them for like 30 minutes or 1 hour to have them discharged. These individuals include one, simple fracture. Now, you see here is have your simple fracture. In the first one, we're talking about compound complex fracture or crush injury. This is simple fracture, a four yellow tie. You have like a asthma. Now, they say asthma without respiratory acuteness. The individual has asthma, they do not have any respiratory symptoms that put them at risk. Now, this comes back to say in the ankle, they say a patient who has asthma with a pulse oximetry of 90, this requires monitoring. This cannot be in this cannot be in yellow, because this man is having low saturation of O2, so he's in red. He should be in red. If we act upon him by lifting the bed up, passing O2, this value will increase, will improve. So he should not be in yellow. So he should be in red. So without the problem, he's falling in yellow, because if you have asthma, you're not going to die unless there's a sign of complication, like you have a respiratory arrest coming in, and you are upon that when you fall in red. But if not, it's just asthma, you are in yellow. Then we have fever. A child who has fever, a person who has hypertension, and renal stone. So who have renal stone or kidney stone, as you may call it. And lastly, someone who has abdominal pain. These individuals fall in tier 2. Now, don't get me wrong. We have some abdominal pains that will be in 1, depending on the condition. If it is a life-threatening complication, like you have hernia, someone is having hernia rapid, but the hernia is strangulated, that requires emergency. It will be in tier 1. It will be red. So these things I'm going to put on the board, they are there to guard you. But when you look at the ankle play of these things, because it's going to tell you that, okay, this is abdominal pain, and it will say a patient who has had a history of inguinal hernia, or the person had umbilical hernia, and they are having abdominal pains, they will give you these patients. Which one you care for first? Now, when the person having this abdominal pain and they are showing signs of hernia strangulation, it requires emergency. Someone has asthma and they are showing signs and symptoms of status asthmaticus, which is a complication of asthma, it requires emergency. So depending on what you're going to see, but this just gave you the guideline of what you're going to see. Now, then the last type are the ones who have green. The green are the ones that are non-urgent. You have green. So the green individuals are the ones that are non-urgent. The tier 1. You have the non-urgent. Non-urgent individuals. Non-urgent. The tier. Now, under the non-urgent, these are patients with local injuries who do not have immediate complication, who can wait for several hours for medical treatment. These patients require at least 1 or 2 hours to be monitored after evaluation. After their evaluation, we can wait for at least 2 hours and we can discharge them, because for them, it is not so severe that we must act. Such patients, they can have minimal laceration, sprain injuries, or core symptoms. Now, there are some trial system that include black. So the black color of individuals who are dead. So if the person is dead or will soon die, will take a black color. These victims that would not benefit from any care of injury, they'll have a black tag. So a black tag individuals, they are going to die. So like you went on the scene, a patient was brought into the ER. They had a gunshot wound, and they came in. The respiratory rate is 0. Their eyes still open and blinking, and the BP is 0 over 0. He has maybe lost so much blood, he's helpless. That person is going to die eventually. He's going to die, because that will be some signs of his imminent death coming in. So you look at that patient, you tag him black. Yes, you will still provide for him treatment, but he might still die. So those individuals will have black tags. So the tag situation is very important. to know which time to get which patient. Any question? Any question? So that is under the senior supervision, a lot of things under triage. Now there are a few tasks that we delegate to RNs, we delegate to CNAs, we delegate to LVN or LPNs. Now let's start the PNs, the LVNs or the LPNs. Now, for the LVN or LPNs, they take instruction. I don't want to use the word instruction, but they work under the supervision of an RN. Let's take the VN or the PNs, or we call it PN or VN. It's the same. Now, for the PNs, they can monitor input and then talk to the RN about them, so they can monitor findings, they can provide reinforcement and petition, they can perform tracheostomy care, they can perform a trachea, they can check for NG tube patency. Now that is also a form of assessment, but they can do that. So an LVN can do, they can check for NG tube patency. So they can check for NG tube patency. And how do we do that? There are many ways we check for that. One way could be we check the pH of the abdominal content, or we use other method to check for the bowel sound. So LVN can check for that. The LVN can also administer enteral feedings. So they can administer enteral feeding. They can do enteral feedings. What is enteral feedings? They can do enteral feedings. The LVN can also insert urinary catheter. So they can insert catheter. They can insert urinary catheter. And they can also administer medication, excluding IV medication. They can administer a medication. They can do meds without IV medications. These are the rules they can. Now, the reason why I don't know like write this thing down, because in the NCLEX, these things might not work. Because they'll give some tasks that would be LVN appropriate, but the book did not mention it. So you use your own common sense to know whether it is an LVN appropriate task. Sometimes they will use some other wordings for assessment. I might not say assessment. They will say to check for this abnormality. That's assessment. If I must check your eyes to look at eye color, that's assessment, because I'm doing inspection. So they might not use the word assessment, they might use other words, other jargon. That's still talk about assessment, that you have to be part of that. You have to understand what is being used in there. So these tasks can be done by LVNs. So RNs can do all these tasks plus assessment, evaluation, and teaching. LVN can teach, but they can do teaching reinforcement. So the nurse can show the patient how to use incisional spirometer. Patient understood the procedure, re-demonstrated the procedure, and the RN left. Then the patient was getting it wrong. The LVN is responsible to provide reinforcement, to re-teach the patient. They can do that. But the first teaching that requires an RN teaching. For the UAPs, they can do ADLs. For the UAPs, that is the CNAs and other people, they can do they can do ADL, the CNAs or the UAPs. They can do one ADLs. grooming the hair, creaming the body. Oh, they can do those things. Bathing, grooming, dressing, toileting, ambulating, feeding without any swallowing precautions. They can do positioning. Now, a patient who is from having a hip surgery, a CNA cannot reposition this patient because the patient is acute. He or she needs prompt monitoring and prompt management. So a UAP cannot provide position change for this patient. That's one. A patient who is having dysphagia, a UAP cannot feed this patient. A patient who is just from a hip surgery, trying to get back on his feet during a rehab or doing an occupational or physical therapy, a nurse aide or a CNA cannot help them. A patient who just had a fall and coming back to ambulate, a CNA cannot, because those are acute conditions that would need extra knowledge points to implement those things. So they are to be done by a trained RN. Bed making, specimen collections, intake and output, vital signs for patients who are stable can be done by UAPs or CNAs. Now, they might say these things, and in the NCLEX, you will see a question that will appear similar to this thing they are saying here, but there is one thing that changed the entire question that makes it is not CNA or UAP appropriate. Just one word can change what we're saying here. And that's why I don't like you to get glued to these tasks. Because some of these tasks will be appropriate in a book. When you go to the ankle, it is not appropriate because there might be one word to change it. And you who taking the test, you gotta know that word. Or it's, oh, I'm gonna say I'm gonna take this and it is not right. So that one word in the question can change the meaning and it can also change the answer.
Question in a
baby
it's just a specimen collection. What kind of
a
specimen collection can skinny or
UAP collect? So let's say the person came in, right? And they came in to do a urine test. The person doing a urine test. A nurse aide can get in the can to put a urine in. That's one. If we just want a urine to do urinalysis, patient has a urine bag on them, a CNA can do that. They can go and just remove the cap, put a urine in a container, close it back, take it to the lab, put a needle in it, they can do that. Those are common. Now, if we have to get a clean, fresh urine, it's not for CNA. If we're to do a mesh screen urine specimen, it is not for CNA. 24-hour urine specimen, it is not for CNA because that requires some level of knowledge point. Because if we miss anything, it alters the urine, it alters the lab result. So, like for common urine for urinalysis, anyone can do that. Just think, right? If we're doing urinalysis, patient himself can be asked bring a urine here. Nobody cares about if we're doing urine drugs test. Patient cannot bring his own urine, right? You gotta go in and put it to a particular bathroom that does not have a flush in the commode that is locked. They said do not flush the commode, right? Do not wash your hands. Now that is a specimen question that requires special order or requirement. That does not need to be done by CNA. So you can read a question. And then this is not to be done by CNA. Or this should be done by CNA. You'll see it, you know. And that's why I said I don't ever tell people that do this because sometimes it might not be what should come in the test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions?